Well, good afternoon, and today I've got a very exciting wine, only because the last few wines that I've been trying with you here have been quite cheap and cheerful wines, and they're okay for their price point, and they're okay, but they're not going to massively move your groove, and they, you know, they're just wines which fill in a long yawning hour, you might say. So today what I did was I walked about a mile and got to the nearest shop, and you know, there's a sort of choice of, shall I go for vodka with a mixer, some really nice cider or lager, or you know, white wines which aren't even worth me considering, like Isle of Nigra or that I Heart. I mean, I'm not going to go for those, or Barefoot, right? So then I really wanted to wade through a bottle of red wine for the afternoon going into the evening, because I'm waiting for my car to be repaired, and so I'm off road, so I can't go and give my lessons, so I've got a long yawning afternoon going into a long yawning evening. And although I'm sure I can find plenty to do apart from yawning, it's so much better, isn't it, with a bottle of red wine. So we had a choice of, and this is really the whole theme of today, is what do you do when you've got a very limited choice? So we had Barefoot Malbec, 11%, and the Hardy's VR varietal range, probably about 10%. And that dreadful thing called Shy Pig, which wasn't actually on the shelf. And then I think there was a Yellowtail Shiraz. You would have to be, well, you might as well just get Ribena, don't even think about that. And then there was one of those Como Sur with a bicycle, quite a nice label, from Chile, but it's a Pinot Noir, and I absolutely hate. So I'm not going to buy a wine that's just rubbish or I absolutely hate. And there was something else, you know, in that sort of. And then suddenly there was a proper capsule and cork Rioja Tempranillo 2023 called Muriel, right? And I mean, that is a proper wine. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, amongst all that rubbish, they've actually got a proper bottle of wine. And it was only for a caravan camp shop, right? It was only £10.75, and it's 13.5%. I mean, the other shops around wouldn't have anything like that. And it's, you know, it's well, it's just looking like it's going to be a really decent wine. It's called Muriel. Classic elegance meets contemporary style in this impressive wine made from the Tempranillo. Great, well-balanced flavours and exquisite aromas reflect the time and expertise that goes into this classic winemaking style established in 1926, so 100 years, you know, of tradition going into this bottle, and 13.5%. So, you know, what is Rioja? It's mostly, but not just, it can be Graziano as well, but it's mostly the Tempranillo grape, which is, you know, famed throughout Spain, and they do something to it in that region which kind of puts it on stilts. So, you know, the tale goes that when they had phylloxera in France at some point in Bordeaux, they didn't know what to do because they had to rip out all their vines, and for, you know, 3 or 4 years at least, they'd got no chance of making wine. I mean, this is, you know, a calamity on a worldwide grand scale when you're the region of France best known for producing wine, but suddenly you can't produce wine for some years, and what do you do? So what they did was they went to Rioja and they purchased as much of the wine as they could, and then they sold that to their buyers and said, we're terribly, terribly sorry, production has stopped for the foreseeable future, but we'd like to introduce you to this marvellous wine. And so the point of that little story is, firstly, that we can always innovate. Don't worry about what's going to happen to you in life. You'll be fine, because your amazing subliminal mind which is highly creative, will, you know, come out with some brilliant solution that's so much more interesting than the usual drabness which you serve up cold as life. And so anyway, you know, a tiny little shop, hardly any variety, and they come up with this absolute gem. And I'm saying that because the bottle's jolly nice. I mean, it is, it's embossed, it's got a, you know, hole up its bottom, and it's got that, you know, stamp on it which says this is genuine Rioja. So I think this is going to be an exciting find, and it doesn't really tell me anything about how old the wine is, which is interesting. So it doesn't say Crianfo, it doesn't say Reserva or anything like that. Okay, so it's kind of run of the mill, perhaps. But what I'm trying to say is that it's the wine of Spain which can sometimes live up to the wines of Bordeaux, all right? So in other words, it's a good quality wine. That doesn't mean go and buy a £5 claret from your local shop, right? Do not bother with Bordeaux unless you're paying at least 10 quid, you know, because it's just absolute garbage and it's got a plastic cork and it's just nasty. And then you're going to say, oh, I don't like Bordeaux, you know, but Bordeaux is it's the god of the underworld, really. And so don't be put off by cheap imitations, you know. So what I'm going to do now is I've got my usual two glasses, the truncated universal glass, which is, you know, crystal, and the Merlot Masterclass glass, which is also crystal, only it was 5 times more money. And I think that's because it's hand blown. Although if we're going to be strictly precise, I suspect, I don't want to be pedantic here, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if you really got down to it, it's not mouth blown, because I've never heard of anyone managing to blow anything with a hand, unless it's gunpowder, you know, and Guy Fawkes and all that sort of thing, or just blowing up a bridge in wartime France. So I said, ugh. I suppose you could say that would be hand blown. Right, so the cork is proudly telling us on a sort of stamp design that it comes from Rioja, and it says Calificada, you know, whatever that means. And I've got wine all over my hand, which is, you know, not a bad thing to have all over your hand. And it's gone all down the bottle, so it's sort of ruined the look of it, etc., etc. But never mind, because, what is it? A life full of wine is a life full of sunshine or something. And it's been spectacularly raining here today. So let's glug and let's see where we're going with this. So what I'm trying to say is, this was a real wine in amongst a small selection of absolute fakes, you know. And it gives the impression that it's made by it gives the impression that it's made by, you know, a bodega or whatever they're called. Okay, so it's pretty nice colour. It's very transparent, but that doesn't always mean that it's thin-bodied. Okay, it's a really great dark raspberry, cranberry, pomegranate look, and it just looks nice. So I'm going to give you the nose from the truncated glass. Don't forget you've got two nostrils. And usually I say that I'm left nostriled, but I'm getting way more out of my right nostril today. So that could just be that, you know, I've got a bogey up there or something, but you never know. It doesn't really matter. Wow. What do I mean by real wine? It doesn't matter whether it's dressed up to look like a, you know, single vineyard or whatever, and it isn't. Nevertheless, its pedigree as, you know, a terroir region is so fantastically great amongst the world wines that you're going to get, even at the bottom level, you're going to get something that's real, as opposed to the fakeness of Barefoot and, you know, the other just well-known brand names like Yellowtail. It's not wine. It's just grape juice in a bottle that's come a long way, that's all. The nose on this, I mean, the nose on a good wine will, whether the wine's any good or not, it's a good wine, so the nose on it will just tear you away from the ordinariness of life, which is presented by the big brand names, which we could call big bland names. The nose on this is so fantastic. I just want to talk about it and just keep nosing it. It's got quite a lot of, even if it never saw the inside of a barrel, the nose has got quite a lot of the amazing American oak, vanilla of Spanish wine at its best. And I guess why I'm really entranced by the nose is that because I've been drinking so many cheap wines, indeed I've had one quality red wine this year, which was the Sablé of Côte d'Irène Village from the Morrison's corner shop. I didn't want to walk all the way down there today and back. That would be about at least 3 mile trip, I think, there and back. Just a bit more than I would really want to walk around with a wine bottle and some milk, because coffee, you know. And mushrooms, not because coffee. Yeah, so the nose is amazing because it's taking me into an era in my life, which is that I used to drink really nice nosed wines. Okay, so without further ado, let's go for the nose on the other one. It just takes me back to the time when I used to be able to afford club wine. Now, not surprisingly, this glass is round-bottomed. It's giving me a very different nose. It's not just the round bottom. It's the way in which the rim of the glass works. You know, the other one just allows the aroma to be thrown up through both of your noses, bogies or no bogies, you know. Well, it's much more subtle, but it's got definite cherry tobacco. That's what's screaming at me. Do you remember those old tobacco shops where they used to have the tobacco in great big tins, like canisters, like proper old-fashioned tea? And they'd get the canister. They'd probably have to go up ladders, you know, come down ladders and unscrew the canister and then just carefully ladle some out onto an old-fashioned weighing thing, scales. And, you know, you'd get your 2 ounces of black cherry tobacco, or your 2 ounces of orange Picot Souson, or whatever. Right. So today we're not doing tobacco or tea. We're actually doing wine. Sorry. I keep turning notifications off, but they keep turning themselves back on. I do apologise. So I'm just going to go for. I mean, the other thing about this wine is, when you swirl it in the glass, it is giving some really, really nice legs. Really nice legs. So I'm just going to, I'm afraid, I'm not being very coherent here, am I? But I'm just going to take a photograph as is before I drink the wine, you know, so you can see what the wine's looking like, essentially. One and two. Let's just bring that round here, and this one round here. Let's get this looking good. There we go. It doesn't actually look all that good because you can't actually see it, but that's because the light's so bad. And, you know, what can we do about that? I don't know. So just get a white, always just get a white piece of paper. And just tilt the glass slightly and just have a look at, you know, how it looks. You know, because you can tell a lot about the age of the wine from tilting it, okay, against a white background, because, you know, you can observe the rim. And you can observe the colour, you can observe the body of the wine. So this one is showing a slight orange brown, whereas the cheap wines are much newer. They will be showing a fluorescent pink, sort of light purple. So in general, you can be quite sure. It's not Absolutely true, but in general, you can be quite sure that if you're getting the orange brown, you've got a much better quality wine. However, that can go the other way and it can be dead. It can be way past its, you know, best drinking window. I've had one which was a Bordeaux, I think it was only 7 years old or something like that, and it was absolutely dead. I mean, it was like old cork water, just, you know, it was horrendous. I had to throw it out, unfortunately. And it was a shame because it had been recommended to me as being, you know, an absolutely top buy, and it wasn't. It was more of a bye-bye. Right, so here we go with the round bottom glass, and yeah, so the legs are looking really, really nice. You know, the legs being when you swirl the glass, the alcohol then drains down into the glass. And if you're really proficient and you know your glass really well, you can even tell the alcoholic content. Well, this one is 13.5%, and that's going to be good. But, you know, today's top rockers are going to be like 14.5%, 15%. Yeah, that's a pretty nice wine. It's got a lot of tannic stickiness at the roof of my mouth. And it's definitely got that American oak vanilla, okay, and that gives on to quite a lot of other quite interesting flavours, which I'll think of in a minute. But I'm just thinking of the finish. The finish is quite big as well because it's got quite a tannic burst. So I definitely say it's got some of that black licorice, you know, like you get in licorice all sorts. I mean, it's a wine which is traditionally paired with roast lamb, and there's something about the you know, propensity of it takes away from some greasiness of the lamb. It does work really well. But this would be great with venison stew, you know, or rabbit. I mean, it would be great with rabbit. You just never see rabbit anymore. It would definitely brighten up ostrich, and I can't really say about kangaroo because I haven't had kangaroo. Or crocodile. I haven't had kangaroo or crocodile. I know I'm talking a lot, but what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get you inside of what I do when I'm on my own and I've got a wine. Because I get two glasses, I get a little bit of time so I'm not pushed, and I can open the wine at my leisure and really look at it, think about the colour. Think about, you know, how it looks against the white background. And I do take a lot of time over the nose, right? Because it's not just about what this wine is going to do. It's about the goodness of life, which is sometimes I have loads of money and I have loads of wine, and other times I don't, and I'm really pushed and I've got a wine, but I want to remember the good times and I want to fast forward myself to some more good times. You know, it's about having hope for the future and all that, but really enjoying the best of the past. And certain wines, certain occasions, maybe certain friends come to your mind if you allow yourself that time to nose the wine before you take your first glug. So I've already had three glugs from that, and it's just really, it's an easy pleasing wine, right? But compared to most of the wines I could buy within this 3 mile, you know, surroundings where I'm now, because I'm in a very remote place out near Dungeness in Kent. And if you're out there without a car and you don't particularly want to spend £6 going to Spa and back, you know, on the bus, you're a little bit limited, let's just say that. But having said that, I mean, you've got a railway, we've got the lakes, we've got the beach, you know, there's loads of grass. It's just heavenly solitude. Brilliant. So let's dive in and see what the other glass is going to give. And then I'm just going to tell you how my long yawning afternoon is going to unwrap and why you should have one yourself from time to time. In fact, I've done something in my last article, which was take Wednesdays off. And this is Tuesday and I'm taking Tuesday off, but you know, just take a weekday off to be alive, to be you and not really do anything. Sometimes it's good to have a day in which you don't really achieve anything at all, because I'm such a high achiever and I like to excel in everything. And just very occasionally I let myself have a day off where I don't do anything except get outside of a bottle of wine. Read a novel for the sheer hell of it, and play some chess problems through. Well, so yeah, I'm kind of spoilt because I've already drunk a reasonable amount from the other glass. And there is a big difference between that immediate, you know, wow, the first time the wine hits your palate. But this is really doing all the things that I want a wine to do. And I think this particular style of wine, we don't have any idea how long it's spent in oak, but there's definitely oakiness coming to me. We don't have any idea as to the winemaker's son's middle name or anything. You know, we're kind of left in the air. But the wine is intensely warming, and therefore it's one of those wines which it doesn't really matter whether you can see your fingers through the glass, which you can, and whether it's thin-bodied. I'd say it's medium-bodied. But I've rarely had a glass of wine in which, you know, it's such quality wine, and you so easily see your fingers through the glass. Right? It's not one of these big black reds at all. And neither is it a cheap bottle of Tempranillo for fiver that's just some grape juice in a bottle. There's obviously, this has been, you know, carefully thought out at some point. It's giving me masses of beautiful dark cherry warmth, without in any way being plummy and sweet and fruity. Okay, there is a little bit of fruit in there. I just told you what it was. It's dark cherry. But essentially, it's just an incredibly well-rounded wine, which is bathing in the luxury of its, you know, terroir reputation. And sometimes, if you've taken the time to build a reputation, you don't have to worry too much when the hard times come, because you can rest on your laurels, your reputation, and that will get you through, because everyone knows you're a jolly good fellow and you're going to cough up the goods sooner or later. And you're just having a little bit of time out, okay? That's very, very important. And we've almost completely lost the art of that today. That's why I like to live in a very rural area, because people do know a good thing when they see one. And you know, sometimes you can just take the afternoon off and be fucknut if you want. This is a wine where the texture is everything. The texture is really, it's like a really satisfying deep French kiss on a fairly pleasant afternoon, you know. French kissing isn't massively to be advised when you've been to the dentist and had one of those injection things, but, you know, the concept of life is never, never, never let a needle be stuck in you, and so take that away, and next time you have dentist treatment, do it without the injection, which I always do, because there's no pain like the pain of coming down from an injection. Trust me on this one. And I've never had drill pain that gave me as much misery as the injection pain. It was just a little tip for life. And you know, it's going to be a very nice afternoon. My only sort of regret is that I didn't buy two bottles, because I think that one's going to go down dreadfully, dreadfully fast, and I'm going to have to really, really pace myself. So I think it's an absolutely perfect wine for £10.75, because it just does everything that an afternoon wine should do. It's, you know, it's playing on my senses. It's got a lovely, lovely texture. It's got beautiful nose that's sort of vanilla and sort of licorice and sort of dark cherry and sort of tobacco, you know. It's sort of got a mystery about it. It sort of wants you to try and figure out who done it. You know, it's a kind of whodunit wine. And it's going to go best with a novel, which luckily I've got a novel and a board of chess. And there's some washing up, but I don't think I'll do that. I mean, I keep saying I must do it. I said I must do it last month, and it's been there for about, I don't know, 9 months now. It's, you know, it's almost coming to its time in the fruition of gesticulation, as it were. I am a bit lazy with domestics, but as long as there's a wine, it'll be fine, is my motto. And, you know, if all else fails, I could do a word search or something. So, I've got an unusual day because I've been waiting on a car repair and it hasn't materialised. And so I've just got long yawning hours and I need to fill them up, so I got some wine. Brilliant wine. Go for it. You know, anything that says Rioja and looks like it might do the job. You know, this was 3 years old. And it's just coming into its sort of peak drinking window. It's absolutely yummy. It would be brilliant with fruitcake. Absolutely brilliant with fruitcake. But failing that, I've got spicy mackerel with, you know, beautifully butterfried mushrooms and a 1970s Vesta. That's not actually a Vesta that's come through from the 1970s, although there's no reason why it shouldn't have done, but it's one that's been recreated by a friend in Lancashire who's got an absolute genius for this type of time warping in the kitchen, as it were. And so I'll be interestedly doing that. You have to follow the, you know, the instruction procedure very carefully to get it just right. But it's, I've done one before and it was just unbelievably, magically, deliciously taking you back to the 1970s and really, you know, that's where I'd like to go. I don't mind going back to the 1960s, right? Or even Enid Blyton's ginger beer, cress and egg sandwich era on Brown Sea Island or whatever. But I just don't know if I can deal with the pounds, shillings and pence, you know, because it's been so long. And trying to work out 20 shillings to the pound and 12 pence to the shilling, that's 240 pence to the pound. It, you know, in today's world, it's a bit mind-boggling, isn't it? But luckily, in those days, you had these little books, which were computators, long before the calculator, and you just sort of thumb through until you got the calculation that you wanted, like, you know, 13 guineas plus 2 groats plus a florin plus half a crown plus a footney bit plus sixpence plus a quarter farthing. Because at one time they did have quarter farthings, probably not in the 1950s, but perhaps definitely in the, say, the 1750s. And if you do go back in time, it's always useful to know that sort of thing. And a little bit of Latin in case you get into language problems, which I don't. I don't get into language problems because I just smile and point at things, and I don't get into, this wine is absolutely brilliant. I mean, I'm really pleased with it. I don't care how much I paid for it. It's just fantastic. And never, never share your bottles of wine with anyone is my motto for today. And what I'm really just saying is, I know I've waffled on, but I want you to see how much enjoyment I get out of just one bottle of wine. So imagine how much joy I'd get out of one case of wine. And if you follow the link and buy a case from the link I give you, they'll give me some wine and then I'll be able to have a case of wine myself.